The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the Thursday edition. The Cohen cross-examination edition. I assure you, this is not a rerun. I am doing it live. Rich and I are coming in on a Thursday. We didn't have to, but we chose to because I think everyone needs to react. Today is the day. Cohen's last day on the stand in the hush money, the voter deception trial. Rich, this has been ample fodder for us, but we've taken a few days off and got to play catch up.
Well, yeah, and because I have been, shall we say, disconnected for a few days, I might need you to get me up to speed a little bit, but I'll do the best I can to hold on and ride this horse.
Well, we got some sound. And of course, No sound from inside the courtroom, but maybe some dramatic readings. We'll see.
Okay.
Thinking about doing Cohen in the 4 o'clock hour. And then also, did you hear the debates on? There's going to be a fight. Trump v. Biden. The battle everybody wanted to see. I hear it could be the most important debate of your life. It's going to happen June 27th, I believe, a Thursday night. And I'm already scheming. I've been scheming since the moment I heard it was going to happen very early for a debate. We're going to talk about that and maybe get your opinions in the 5 o'clock hour. But where I want to start today, this was new news to me. And Rich, I got to admit, I've been working hard. I haven't been paying attention as much as I normally do, but I have been mass consuming the Cohen testimony. So through osmosis, I think I've got a pretty good read on this trial. But we're not going there yet. Donald Trump, the RNC coming to Milwaukee. RNC, MKE, I had to think about this. We used to do this with the DNC. The DNC was coming. DNC, MKE, 2020. I must have said that in Tom Perez, the former Democratic Party national chairman, said it in his ear in 9 different debate sites. The guy did like 9 different exclusives every time. All I was doing was pulling for Milwaukee to get the DNC convention. Didn't quite happen the way Crudy had planned it. You know, the rest is history. I won't tell that story today. Too many important things happening. But the Republicans in the ultimate troll, RNC, MKE, 2024. You know, the Democrats, they never came. So we're gonna troll them by coming to a city that really doesn't traditionally vote Republican, let's just say. Last time I heard, Bob Spindell, Wisconsin Elections Commissioner, disgrace, I would say. That's an opinion. The guy should resign, but he is a Wisconsin Elections Commissioner. You know, I can hear myself too well. I don't need to hear myself quite that well, Rich. He bragged about the voter suppression of like 38,000 Black and Latino votes in Milwaukee. Seems like Republicans would want to expand the base, but that's not really how they effectively have been trying to do it here in the state of Wisconsin. It's win through attrition, make it harder for people to vote, and maybe they'll stay home or just discourage them. Hell, lie to them if you got to. And if it's successful, into the opinion of Bob Spindell. Again, he's a Wisconsin elections commissioner. Did I mention he was a false Trump elector? That's also on his resume. But how he still a Wisconsin elections commissioner. Again, a story for a differing day, because that's not even where we're going. But he, I think, shares the sentiment of many people about the Republicans. Many Republicans in regards to the city of Milwaukee. Those people are to be voter suppressed. They are not our friends. And how do I know? Because the Republicans shut down their Hispanic outreach in Milwaukee. They didn't feel like the investment was going to bear any fruit because they're going to go and mass deport them, right? That's the policy of their nominee. And they're coming to Milwaukee to troll the Dems, I think, primarily, because they're not going to increase the number of votes they get out of blue Milwaukee. Need the phone right now. Sorry, spammer. Here's the headline. Donald Trump says there's a pretty good chance he will announce his vice presidential pick in Milwaukee at the Republican National Convention. Why would he wait? Well, they're all stroking his ego. I mean, he's got no family, well, barring Eric Trump, that show up at his trial in New York. And literally, Trump doesn't even have anyone supportive. Like, Trump protesters are permitted to go there. There's apparently a special spot for him. People are not showing up to support the former president at the hush money trial. You know, stand outside and wave signs all day. So that's been depressing to him. So, you know, he's brought on some outsiders to help bolster his ego. And I forget why I'm going this direction with this, but oh yeah, because most of these suck-ups, clowning, wearing the same suits, they all want to be his VP pick. They all want to be the next Hang Mike Pence guy. This is what you're signing up for. I wouldn't want that job, personally, you know, just based on how the last guy went out. But Donald Trump says there's a pretty good chance he'll announce the VP pick in Milwaukee at the Republican National Convention. Let's go beyond the headline here. Former President Trump seems likely to announce his running mate in Milwaukee at the Republican National Convention this July. He said in an interview on NBC News affiliate TMJ4 Thursday morning.
There's probably a pretty good chance. I would say I don't say anything is 100%. But you're getting pretty close.
I'll be doing it in Milwaukee, Trump said. Now, Trump previously hinted in May that he wouldn't name his pick until mid-July, saying in a radio interview that he's
really a believer that you do it during the convention.
Now, the convention is going to be held in July in Milwaukee, RNC MKE 2024. Well, that's July 15th. Through 18th, that's Monday through Thursday. Got plans on sort of counter-protesting. And potential names on Trump's list for vice president include many of his court buddies, the people that are standing in and light of the fact that no one really wants to go to court with Donald Trump except these that are sucking up the sycophants that want to be his VP. They include Tim Scott, Republican from South Carolina. Now, he's the guy recently went on the Sunday shows. It wouldn't commit to accepting the outcome of the next election. That's how you show loyalty. Senator J.D. Vance, a particularly despicable guy, a Republican from Ohio. Who else? Who else is on the list? Well, there's little Marco Rubio, how he grovels. Rep. Elise Stefanik, Republican from New York. Yeah, like he'd be considered a Democrat on the ticket. South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem. Really? Is she still in the race? Maybe the dog shooting will blow over? I don't think it will. And not so much a dog as a puppy. Puppy shooter. That's going to be a hard one to overcome. But, you know, considering this field, just proper loyalty might be the kicker. And North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum. I heard him sucking up for Trump on CNN yesterday. Maybe it was 2 days ago. Trump selected former VP Mike Pence on July 13th, 3 days before the RNC started in Cleveland that year. Hillary also announced her running mate, Senator Tim Kaine. Different guys. Tim Kaine of Virginia, the less than memorable co-pilot to the Hillary Clinton campaign. We don't call him former Vice President Tim Kaine for a reason. So Trump's going to make his big announcement coming up in Milwaukee, or at least so he says. Not 100%, but, you know, likes to put it out there for the people and, you know, put on a good show. That's what he's really coming down to. Now, I've heard some bad rumors on the street. Not doing so well. People aren't really booking the events outside the actual RNC safe zone. And the RNC has been squawking quite a bit, including U.S. Senator Ron Johnson. We're going to be too close to the protesters. The First Amendment people, those saying bad stuff about us, we might hear or see them, theoretically. Theoretically, we could hear or see them. That'd be bad. So, 844-967-2789. We're going to start the day. We're going to do a little of the backyard politics that you're used to. Trump's going to bring this show to our backyard. Now, the vice president, she's in the state of Wisconsin today, my understanding, and she brought D.L. Hughley. Comedian D.L. Hughley doesn't roll off my tongue. He's in town with Vice President Kamala Harris. Perhaps we'll have some of the coverage thereof. A lighter event, I would suspect. But she's on the campaign trail. And Donald Trump, of course, in court today. The last day of court, my understanding, Michael Cohen. Well, he's been the guest of honor a couple of days this week. And he's getting grilled cross-examined. It is a Cohen cross-examination Thursday edition. Although, you would think, from the mouth I'm exhibiting, you would think it's a Monday. I'm going to act like it's a Monday, but it's not. It's Thursday. It's live. You're here for the show. Stick around. Some call this the greatest radio show ever. I hope you agree. You can be a part. Always better with your participation. 844-967-2789. Many, many topics, including Cohen. A great debate. Trump v. Biden. I don't know about great. We'll see. And of course, Trump coming to town to roll out the VP, the eagerly anticipated. When I asked the Trumpians, and we played that show the other day, when Trump was in Waukesha in April, we asked the people, who do you like for VP? Whoever the cheat old Messiah says. Little or no preference, but they were all down for the show. Hope you are as well. Stick around. It continues.
The Devil's Advocates. So relevant, they have one foot in tomorrow.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Thursday edition. I'm doing it live. Me and Rich doing the heavy lifting here. Dom in Ireland, he's on a real vacation. But there are so many headlines, so much to cover today. And we're waiting until the 4 o'clock hour. I've got my take. I've been living the Cohen trial. Well, it's not the Cohen trial, but this week it's been the Cohen testimony. And he will perhaps drive the outcome of this trial. And I've got the latest, but not yet. Got to stick around. Sorry, going to tease it till the 4 o'clock hour. I do have a good political headline. You're going to want to stick around for this opinion piece. Cap Times editorial board, Voss and LeMahieu, those are the Republican leaders here in the great state of Wisconsin. If you're unfamiliar, according to the headline, they're acting like five-year-olds. Well, you know, that's right up my alley, being a little juvenile myself at times, just of spirit. But I want to tell you where I've been and why I haven't been here doing the heavy lifting on the Cohen testimony up until now. I've been working hard, and that's legit. Rich, look at me, man. I'm covered in paint. And
you got
primer.
Paint all over your arms.
I have to get ahead of the contractors. We're having new flooring and new bass drum. And this is something we've needed for years and years and years. We've been in this house about a decade, and I redid the floors amateur style. Well, you know, they've stood up. They're hardwoods, but time to, you know, freshen them up. We're putting in the new investment, air quotes. We'll see. Investment in flooring on top of the flooring. So we've got new flooring coming and new bass drum going wide. My wife says it's classy, needs to class me up a bit. Here's the problem. The entire house needs to get painted before the next step, and also the bass drum has to be taken out and, you know, some prep, some general prep work. So the skilled labor, when they get there, they can go to work and fly through the project. And we do have dogs. Did I mention the dogs and the two kids still at home, at least for the summer? So my wife's taking the kids, pardon me, I correct my own story, taking the dogs, thank God, up to the cabin. And she's been stuck up there for like 4 days straight. And also, she's presenting at a conference. I hope you did great, baby. I know you will. Circle of Life conference. I appeared on her radio show, The Empowered Caregivers, talked about this conference. Well, she's put a lot of effort into it. But a lot of it is, you know, she's been trapped outside the home because you can't bring the dogs in. I can't paint the house and pull the board and all the stuff if the dogs are humping my legs. You know what I'm saying? Licking me, wanting to go out, wanting to go for a walk, wanting to get fed, water, all that stuff. Needy, like kids. So, thank God, my wife has had the dogs, but I haven't seen her in days, and I do miss her. I do miss the company of my wife. She is a good girl. I love my wife. Don't miss the dogs much. Haven't missed them. Don't miss them. My boys have been good. One mowed the lawn today. Got to pay them still, but wanted to have it look okay for the neighbors because I haven't been mowing this week. But literally busting my ass to paint every surface area. And, you know, you got to tape back all the cupboards and the important stuff, the stuff you don't want to paint. And I'm a good edger, but, you know, I know this is a monstrous project. I got to tape and use some plastic tarps and do my best not to get the speckles on. But I also know that the flooring's all gone. You know, the only flooring getting kept is the kitchen tile. So as long as I don't wreck my wife's kitchen tile or the hard counter surfaces or get anything on her cabinets, I can go like a banshee for days. And I've literally been painting for days. I got about 35 hours, I think, on a ladder, or at least painting. And it's beige. And I even had to paint the ceilings. And I counted the rings of paint, you know, because it reminds you, oh yeah, I remember I painted that color and that color and that color. In 10, 11, however many years, my son's a senior. He lived his whole school experience in the same house, kindergarten to senior year. So 12 years ish, somewhere in there. And I've painted this living room at least four times. I've never painted the ceiling. I've never painted, well, a full higher ceiling like this. Oh my God. That's why the pros get paid. That's why they make the big bucks. If I had to worry about dripping or spilling, painting the ceiling for the vast majority of it, you know, because you go like a foot or two and you're off your drop cloth. You don't even know because you're staring up at the ceiling. And I'm getting head rushes because, you know, I probably consumed. And I'm just getting, you know, a little dazed and confused from like 3 or 4 days of paint fumes. But I have been living Michael Cohen, and the testimony is given. And I was so optimistic when, you know, the prosecuting attorneys were leading him through his testimony. And, you know, all the people on CNN, they were quite impressed. This is a new Michael Cohen. This is a reformed Michael Cohen. And I think the old Michael Cohen's back. We got some of the old Michael Cohen. Well, I'm not going to claim to be a working stiff, but I'm not a half-bad painter, and I'm too cheap. Literally, I am too cheap to hire painters because I know that's the only skill I have. And every other project comes with the price tag and, you know, someone with skilled labor. And I'm not saying painting is not skilled labor, but I knew this particular project and the fact that I could speckle the floors allowed me to go in there like Superman and just hammer paint, and there are some new speckles. But I went on the kitchen, the one surface floor, I went every tile. And if there was even a little white dot, I'd, like, is that a crumb? Is that a grain of salt? Because I know my wife's coming home tonight. And I want to stay on her good side because I've missed her. You know, I don't want to be the guy that spilled paint on the cabinets or something. Come back. We are the Devil's Advocates. We'll get into the very important headline. Voss and LeMahieu are acting like five-year-olds. More Devil's Advocates keeping it local. Then on to the Cohen cross-examination at 4.
Fairy tales can come true. It can happen to you if you're young at heart.
The Devil's Advocates, rock and roll political commentary in a top 40 world.
To be narrow of mind.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the Thursday edition. I'm live, I assure you. That's Rich, he's live. I hear something about zombie circadias. That's not us. We're the Devil's Advocates. Dom in Ireland, he'll be back on Monday, but I couldn't stay away. I've been missing you people. And if you really loved us, you'd join us on the phones at 844-967-2789. We'll allow you to call the shot until I give you my hot take on how it's going in the Trump hush money trial, the Cohen testimony. I've been immersed for the last couple days, you know, on a ladder. And my last thought here, Rich, before I move on, you know, feeling sorry for myself because I finally worked hard in my life. I cannot believe some of the crap that was on the ceiling, like footprints. How do footprints? I mean, maybe if you're squishing a spider or something, I got a tall son. He maybe took a shoe, but I'm talking the full footprint.
Like, that must have been one hell of a party.
Right? What dad miss? That and the amount of food on the ceiling. Like, I occasionally have been known to get animated in my talking and my eating, especially when the Italian's involved and maybe Dom's at dinner, came by the house or something. But I don't know how I'd get it up there on the ceiling. You'd really have to try. Or we've dropped enough dishes over the last 12 years. And, you know, the lady that we bought the house from, an estate technically, seemed like she had lived a quiet life. But maybe it's 50 years of accumulated gunk on that ceiling. But that was disgusting. I mean, I had to wipe it before I could paint it. There's just stuff I'm like, oh, is that animal, vegetable, or mineral? 844-967-2789. Hey, Rich, help me out here. I can't get to Joe. So if you could, bring Joe up for me. Joe, welcome to the Devil's Advocates. How's it going? Nope, you got to bring her up. Click her. You can't do it from the heads. You got to do it from the... Joe, I'm sorry. I may have to leave you on hold a bit longer. Here you are. Joe, welcome to the Devil's Advocates. Yes, it's not you, it's me. And I tried to make it Rich's problem, but it's my problem, and now I've solved it.
Well, I think, first off, in relation to your painting, just two items I'd mention is perhaps the lady that lived there before you was having some pretty fantastic parties. You never know. And the second thing is, in terms of food on top of the ceiling, remember that old trick from college to find out whether the pasta was done or not, the spaghetti was done?
Yeah, throw it against the wall.
Yeah, so maybe there was some vigorous throwing it up against the ceiling, and that's could lend rise to that the load of film that you have on your screen.
I wish. I mean, I swear there's like pepperonis up there, Joe. It was crazy. Right. It was crazy, you know, because I got on a chair and I actually got up at nearly face level with the ceiling, right? And I've never done that before.
Yeah,
and I got to tell you, I'm a little disgusted by my family.
Ooh, yeah. Right.
So once it got...
Don't mention it to the wife. Don't mention it to the wife.
Well, the chances she's listening to me on the radio are hopefully low. Who knows? No, she's been pretty good. She occasionally gives us a listen. I know she listens. But, Joe, I appreciate you listening. Is that it? You're just making fun of me as a painter?
No, I had a question. I had a question in reference to, actually, just wanted to just salute you, because in the previous half hour, you were talking about the fact of this pilgrimage of the many, many members of the Republican Party who are making their way up, kind of like monks going to, I don't know, investiture of the Pope or something like that, you know, putting in line.
Seems like a bad analogy. That seems like something, well, Don would never use that one, but I don't know if I like that analogy. It's like going off to see the tyrant, but please continue.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, what impressed me about this is I hadn't thought about the fact that you raised, which is his crowds of just ordinary people, ordinary supporters of his, has been zilch. He has had really, might we say, paltry crowds, you know, really
yes.
Pretty pathetic. Yeah, they had it all lined up for the people who would be storming the gates, and nobody's storming the gates in New York. Nobody's bothering to go to New York to storm the gates. So here you have these senators and representatives, you know, making the pilgrimage north in a, God, it's weird. I mean, it is just weirder than all get out. I mean, I thought that Johnson, Speaker Johnson, coming up to put his support behind the guy who was hooking up with a porn star, when this guy has made a big deal about his anti-porn apps with his son. His
accountability apps. Accountability.
Whoa. So good for you for pointing out the obvious, which is he isn't getting the crowd that he wants. So what does he do? He dangles a vice presidency or something. I don't know what, to all of these folks. Come on up
but Joe, you
badmouth the judge. Yeah.
Well, that's just it. It has been a multitude of rationales and reasons why he's had all these Republican sycophants come and, you know, surround him in court like moths to a flame. But
yeah.
Breaking the gag order, effectively being his voice to go
yeah.
insult the judge, to go insult the witnesses, to go insult Michael Cohen. I mean, he's not permitted to do so, as you well know, and he keeps
right.
losing his appeals. He lost another one during the week. So, you
right.
know,
right.
But this trial has come to a completion, Joe. And I'm curious,
yeah.
have you been watching it closely enough to offer an opinion of how you think it will end? What do you think the verdict will be?
Oh boy, I am shocked. I have no idea. I mean, all you need is one person on the jury who's been kind of keeping their hat on about what their true feelings are about Donald Trump and how they may like him very much and do anything to keep him going. I don't know. And I think that next week, if it goes to a jury, is going to be a darned interesting week, no matter what happens. And it will be interesting to me, if there haven't been crowds coming to New York for this trial, will there be crowds coming after the trial if the verdict goes against him? There's a very good question. Just don't know. So it's an important thing, though. It needs to happen. We need to have some sort of accountability. The rich among us, like this guy, can't be constantly waiving his privilege in a way that makes the rest of us seem like we're a completely different species, you know, the rich and the rest of us. So anyway, Crudy, great analysis. You should have to paint and do household remodeling stuff more often. This is just, you know, a great in-depth chance for you to lie on your back, just like Michelangelo when he's painting the Sistine Chapel. Okay?
No like Sistine that. Chapeling. Maybe if I ever get around, because I'll make one confession, Joe. I warmed up with the Jordan Love boat. You know, the boat's in the water now, and I'm very proud that the boat's starting to really shape up and look good. But here's my confession. If you crawl under the trailer, I did not crawl under the trailer and paint the very bottom of the boat. So if you were more industrious than I, you would know that Crudy didn't finish the job. I'm coming up just short of God's hands. So anyways, I didn't finish the bottom of the boat, but it's in the water now,
okay.
So you'll never know unless I tell you.
That's all that matters. This is good enough, good enough. As long as that thing is seaworthy and off you go for a mountain of fun in the summer, that's all that matters. So
I hear we're getting nice weather this weekend. I'll be ready for a break by the weekend. Thanks, Joel. Here's what I want a few of my colleagues in broadcast to know, or other well-wishers that are thinking I'm somehow vacationing this week. Far be it. Working my arse off, just for the record. Just had to get some domestic stuff done. Around the house, literally. 844-967-2789. Mostly because children are destructive creatures. That's my attitude. The Young at Heart. Sort of a different take on being young at heart. An editorial at the Cap Times. Voss and LeMahieu. You know, Boss Voss. Robin Voss and Devin LeMahieu. LeMahieu. I forget how Dom does it. LeMahieu. I can't do it that way. Are acting like five-year-olds. We've all encountered the five-year-old who insists on getting his way and rejects every effort at compromise. When asked what he wants, he simply repeats his demand again and again and again in hopes that a frustrated parent or sibling or teacher will give in. Now, we haven't turned to the Trump coverage, but this does sound a little like Donald Trump. With the passage of time, most children mature and come to understand that life involves compromises, and the best way to get along with others is to look for ways to reach agreements that are good for everyone involved. Sadly, some people do not mature. That might be the column I live in. Even as they leave childhood, they remain obstinate and combative. They insist on getting what they want, demanding that rules be bent and broken to satisfy their whims. Well, I'm not going all that far. They create havoc because they are incapable of functioning as adults. I've been adulting all week. These tragic individuals, because they are unable to engage in meaningful work, become Republican legislative leaders. Cap Times editorial board saying it. We are reminded of this unfortunate circumstance last week when Assembly Speaker Robin Voss and Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu were required to submit three names to the governor to consider for appointment to the Wisconsin Elections Commission. You know, where the Bob Spindell, the voter suppressive fake elector, you know, Wisconsin Elections Commissioner currently reside. The seat in question needs to be filled by a former municipal clerk, a municipal or county clerk, of which there are thousands to pick from in Wisconsin. Voss and LeMahieu were confronted with what should have been an easy task, but they could not pull it off. Instead of submitting three names, the Republican legislative leader submitted one name three times, that of former Green Lake County clerk and current commission member Marge Bostelman. Voss and LeMahieu had every right to propose Bostelman for a place on the six-member body, but they also had a responsibility to follow state statute and required them to give the governor the option to select from a trio of proposed names. Rather than allow government to function as intended, Republican leaders in Wisconsin's legislature choose to play games instead, said State Senator Chris Larson. He's a Dem from Milwaukee. By law, they were required to submit three names to Governor Evers for appointment to the Wisconsin Elections Commission. Instead, they sent one name three times. A little childish, perhaps, as they're being chastised by the editorial board at the Cap Times. I read on. The governor, Tony Evers' office, had asked Voss and LeMahieu to follow the rule and submit three names. If they fail to do so, they are inviting a circumstance where the bipartisan commission, which is supposed to have three Democratic and three Republican appointees, could end up operating with a 3-2 Democratic majority in a vital election year. This is not how the commission is supposed to operate, and we doubt that the hyperpartisan players like Voss and LeMahieu will let things devolve to a point where their party is at a disadvantage. But their immature behavior has created more confusion and complexity for a commission that they have repeatedly sought to undermine. Evers has every right to be upset with Voss and LeMahieu, the Cap Times editorial board writes. So too do Wisconsinites who want to see free and fair elections administered. But by a commission that is organized as the statutes required. That goes for Democrats and Republicans. In this winner-at-any-cost partisanship, it is common for advocates from the two major parties to look for every advantage when it comes to electioneering. But governors and legislative leaders should be able to rise above partisanship and work together to assure that elections are administered responsibly. Evers is committed to do just that. He is prepared to follow the rules and appoint a former Republican municipal office, official or county clerk from a list that was properly submitted by Voss and LeMahieu to the commission. But the relationship doesn't work if Evers is the only adult in the room. Robin Voss is 55 years old. Devin LeMahieu is 51. It's time for both of them to grow up. Chastisement at the Cap Times editorial board. Grow up, fellas. I find myself in between those ages. Come back. We are the Devil's Advocate. Oh, dancing on the ceiling. I see what you did there. I'm just realizing the cleverness you're laying on me. Well done, sir. More Devil's Advocates. Be clever. Join us. 844-967-2789.
The Devil's Advocates. Radio for the 99%.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. These are the golden years. You're listening to them. At least the greatest radio show ever. Hopefully you create memories each and every day when you listen. Can't say the same for Dom. 844-967-2789. Going to turn my attention to the Cohen cross-examination. It is a Cohen cross-examination Thursday edition. That's coming next. But I wanted to spend a little more time in my beloved Wisconsin looking at the political winds. And John Nichols over at the Cap Times opinion piece, Eric Hudvey, when could pave the way for an imperial presidency? Well, that seems quite dramatic, John. Let's read more. If Wisconsinites reject Democratic Senator Tammy Baldwin this fall and instead elect Republican Eric Hovey to the U.S. Senate, Republicans could very likely gain control of the chamber. Yeah, seems quite likely. As the first order of business, a Republican Senate could choose a replacement to retiring Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. And that replacement could well be Montana Senator Steve Daines, a favorite of former President Donald Trump. Now, Daines is currently boosting Republican Senate candidates across the country, including Hudvey, from his powerful position as the chairman of the Republican Senate Campaign Committee. A Senate run by Daines would be a dangerous prospect, says John Nichols. The Montanan, I've never had to address a Montanan before, the Montanan has made it absolutely clear he is prepared to reject the dictates of the Constitution and hand Trump monarchical powers. There's another one, John. You've stumped me twice in like two sentences. Like a monarchy. I'm not sure if monarchical is the proper pronunciation, but that's how it looks to my brain. Did I tell you, it's the first day I've had to speak aloud in a while. First day I've even, the kids just grunt at me. What's for dinner? Pizza? Okay. Anyways, back to reading. Reading alouding, if you will. The former president may talk about wanting to act as a dictator if he wins a second term, but what Trump really wants is to be a king. His current demand to be granted absolute immunity from prosecution for his many crimes, including a direct attack on American democracy, that members of the House January 6th committee correctly identified as a coup attempt, or an attempted coup, as John writes. Trump's demand is radically at odds with the intentions of the founders of the American experiment. His interpretation of the Constitution, a document he has never understood or respected, would jettison historic constraints on the presidency. Those limitations were designed to assure that the fledgling United States would not become a mirror image of the monarchy. See what I did there, Rich? This time it's monarchy. Don't keep using those words, John. The 1776 revolutionaries fought against. Yet as wrongheaded as Trump's attempt to reinterpret the Constitution may be, the determination of key Republicans in the Senate, as well as their election arm, to support the former president's infamy and even more un-American and even more dangerous. In March, Danes in the National Republican Senatorial Committee filed an amicus brief with the Supreme Court in support of Trump's presidential immunity appeal. It spun an elaborate legal fantasy of the supposed perils of holding current and former presidents accountable of criminal wrongdoing. And the brief alleged that failure to uphold Trump's expansive claims to immunity would incapacitate every future president with de facto blackmail and extortion while in office and condemn him to years of post-office trauma at the hands of political opponents. Now, are they just threatening there? Lawyers for Danes in the NRSC were actually more over the top in the advocacy for presidential immunity than Trump's legal team. The committee and its chair argued that the D.C. Circuit Court rejection of Trump's immunity claim, and here's a quote, is akin to a loaded gun lying on the table that future litigants can now wield against presidents and former presidents of all political persuasions. John Nichols writes, that's absurd. The lower court ruling, which Trump is trying to get his allies on the Supreme Court to overturn, simply upheld long-accepted standards with regard to presidential accountability. They hate that word, don't they? Of course, Trump wants to gut those standards. He has always advocated for an imperial presidency. If he gets a second stint in the White House, democracy and its constitutional safeguards would be threatened no matter what the High Court decides. But the signal from Danes is an ominous one. The Montanan, there's that word again, seeks to boost Trump by undermining the basic premises of American system of checks and balances. That would be troubling coming from any senator, but it's especially concerning in this case, as the senator from Montana has been widely identified as Trump's favored prospect to replace Mitch McConnell. Another SOB. Danes can't show his hand and openly bid for the leadership post while he's chairing the RNSC. Doing so would suggest he's more focused on himself than on backing candidates like Hudvey and the GOP's drive to win back control of the Senate. Axios, however, argues that Dane could become a serious contender overnight if Senate Republicans pick up a multi-seat majority and Trump wins the top of the ticket. And where McConnell rejected the most extreme arguments for unrestricted presidential immunity, a low bar to clear, Danes embraces it, going so far as to provide legal support for Trump's court fight. Danes is more than willing to let Trump operate as a king. He won't check or balance his fellow Republican. That's bad for the Senate and bad for America. There's a little bit more here, but you get the feeling John is not a fan of Danes or an imperial presidency. I've got my hot take. I've immersed in Cohen. Come back, I'll give it to you on the other side.